Romans chapter 1. We're starting a new series. We finished up in our Sermon on the Mount. Series titled, How Great a Salvation. How Great a Salvation. I want us to think about that today. See you, Henry. See you, buddy. How great a salvation that we have in Christ. We'll be looking in. My plan is to just preach through sections of Romans so that it would take years to really get through Romans properly. And so 1 through 4 is what we'll start out, chapters 1 through 4, just looking at the great salvation that God's given us. This morning's message will be the good news. And so I want us to think about the good news that's come into your life. I want you guys to understand what a special day this is. If you're on Facebook, you already know. 26 years ago today, the Lord saved me. Yes, He saved me. Now listen, I look forward to today, by the way, that I am older in Christ than I was in the world. I was 28 years old at the time. I'm just 26, so it's getting close. 26 in the Lord. But I was all into the world, doing the things of the world, and could not find peace. I did not have any peace, and it was tearing me up because I tried everything the world offered, but I still had this gnawing in my soul about what in the world is life about? Is life about this whole routine, work, bills, partying, whatever it is that you try to fill, hobbies, you name it. Is that all life is about? And I'm so thankful that I had a friend, listen to me, a friend that cared enough about me to invite me to go to church. You need to be that kind of friend, by the way, that cares enough to invite somebody to come to church. And he told me, he knew what he was going to get when he told me, because we fished together a whole lot. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to church. It's full of hypocrites. Because most of the guys I was partying with on the weekends were church-going guys, and I wasn't any different. I felt like I was just as good off as they were. So it's something for us to think about if you're one of those people that go out and live like the world through the week and holler that I love Jesus on the weekend. But I went that night, February 28, 1990. It was right after 8 o'clock. The old man had preached Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, he opened my life up and he said, this is what you've been searching for. You've searched all around and tried to fill the void only Christ could fill. And that night, because of the Holy Spirit's prompting, I received Jesus. Listen, I became a new man in Christ. Everything changed. And when I come up, it was a different man than it went down. And here I am in God's humor, great humor, and I'm your pastor here this morning on my born-again birthday and get to open up one of the greatest books, I feel like, in all the Scripture. Now, I know there's none greater than any other, but Romans is one of my favorite books of the Scripture, and I look forward to the time that God would allow me to preach from Romans, and this just happens to be on my born-again birthday. Ain't God good? He gives you gifts too, right? He don't only give you eternal life, but He gives you all these great little gifts, and I'm so thankful for that. Romans is one of the most powerful and influential books of all Scripture. It is our Christian manifesto, Christ. I think about great church leaders, Augustine or Augustine, whichever you want to call him. He came to know Christ through the reading of Romans. An Augustinian monk some centuries later, Martin Luther, who created the whole Reformation, started the whole Reformation, came to know Christ through the study of Romans. In the 1700s, John Wesley came to know Christ. I mean, you have giant after giant after giant that came to know Christ through the preaching and teaching of Romans. What a great book. Not an easy book, but a great book. And so I want us, as we go into it today, to think about the freedom that we have. We're free in Christ when we have His Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Free in Christ. The freedom for what? The freedom to live our life not condemned by the sin that we're born with. I want you to get a hold of that. The slavery to sin that we're born with. When we come to know Christ, the shackles, that old song, the chains are gone. That's what it's talking about. The shackles fall off, and we're free to live in Him. And this book will talk about that. Paul, he was probably in Corinth in Acts chapter 20 when he was there, and he probably wrote this book from Corinth or debate on it, and he sends it to the church at Rome. And Rome, the church at Rome was made up of Gentiles and Jews, mostly Gentiles. And so you had this constant friction between the Jew and the Gentile, not over ethnicity at all, but on theology and what to believe and what not to believe. And so we'll see that in the first part of this book. It'll be played out and how he's trying to bring unity through the good news to the gospel. And we'll see that as in the theology. And so you got to remember, the Jewish Christians were proud of their heritage, their favored status with God, and the Gentiles were proud because they had liberty from the law. They hadn't been under the law or lived from under the law. And so it was this constant conflict, but we'll see Paul addressing that through the great good news of the gospel. And as we begin this great study, I want you to see that in this introduction, Romans 1:1-7, and we'll read that in just a minute, but you'll see Paul's introduction of himself. He lays out a picture of himself to the church, but he gives his grand thesis for the rest of the book in these first seven chapters. And so I want us to think about this introduction of Paul and what he's going to be teaching us in the book of Romans over the next little bit, and through the Holy Spirit's pen in this great book, what it is and what it can mean to us, not only as individuals, but also as a body of believers in Christ. And so let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 1:1-7. Romans chapter 1:1-7. And the Word of God said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, thank you for your presence we already feel. Thank you for the great privilege of preaching in this book. God, we ask that, hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth. Touch our hearts. Speak to us what it is you're trying to show us, and we'll give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So I want us to look at five truths that Paul's given us about himself and about the good news as we open in this introduction. First, I want you to see the preacher of the good news. Look at verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. I want you to think about how we write letters. It's so much different, isn't it? We begin at dear whoever, we're addressing our letter, and then we end up with our names first. In antiquity, in ancient times, they did the exact opposite. They started off the letter of who it was that was addressing, who was writing the letter. So we see Paul following this formula. He says, Paul, and then I want you to look at some things that he's given us here. He says, first he shows us his position. The preacher of the good news, Paul, a doulos. That word doulos is a bondservant. Really a better interpretation of that would be slave. Slave. A doulos was the most menial slave in the house. He does the most menial task. I want us to think about that a little bit. It'd be great ministry, doulos ministry, right? We need to start one of those. Just serving. I want you to think of that mindset of serving. How many of us today, I grasp with this even in ministers and ministerial position, that people that don't have a concept of serving. Things will get over, they just run home. They don't think about helping people clean up. They don't think about doing anything to help others because life is about us, our four, and no more. That is not what the Scripture talks about when we're talking about becoming this doulos, this bondservant unto Christ. It's about serving others, serving Him, and serving others. It's such an antiquated mindset nowadays. Why? Because the world, your culture teaches you to be individualistic. It's all about you. You're not going to get ahead if you don't take care of you. And the Scripture is countercultural. It tells you to care about Christ, and love each other and serve each other. And so this idea of a bond servant, he's not a hired servant or a hired purchase. He's been purchased, bought. What's he been purchased with? He said, oh, it's not of silver and gold. but of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was bought with a price. He was, you know what? Christ was his master, and he served him. His position was a doulos, a slave unto God. We're owned by God. And when we're born, we talked about we're born into bondage, into a slave unto sin. And so when we come under that master, when we change masters, by the way, and Christ becomes our master, we're set free to serve him. In the royal liberty of becoming a slave unto him, you say, that don't sound very free. A slavery to Christ is freedom indeed, okay? He sets us free from what? From the shackles of sin, from ourselves, from the condemnation of death and sin and all these things. He sets us free to live unto him. Are you free this morning? Something for us to think about. His position. And next, look at his authority. He was apostolos. It means sent one. I want you to think about Paul's background. Kind of like in my testimonies given this morning. We all have a testimony. Some of you, listen, I heard a lady say today, I wasn't delivered from these kind of things like my pastor was, but you guess what? She has the same testimony. You don't have to get out in the garbage of the world to have a good testimony, young people. Please hear that. The greatest testimony is a person in today's world can say, I've never tried it. I've never done these things. Goodness, what a testimony in today's world. That's a great testimony. Paul, what was his testimony? He was a persecutor of the church. Remember, he was a Pharisee, man. He had zeal, and he went out and he persecuted, and he dragged people out of their houses. He beat them. He put them into prison, all these things. But something happened. He's on the road to Damascus to go beat some more Christians, okay? And this huge light comes out, boom, knocks him off the horse. And the voice says, Paul. Saul, Saul, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, who you've been persecuting. What are you talking about? You're getting a blow. And he was changed in that instant. He became a follower of Christ. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to show him. When Ananias had to go pray, remember that Paul couldn't see and had his scale, and he goes into town. He sends this guy, how'd you like to be that guy? Go tell my chosen servant. This is the guy that's killing Christians. Now go tell him. And I says, Lord, we know what he's done to the church. He says, I'm going to have to show him how he must suffer for my name's sake. And boy, he did. He was called. He was sent. He was a persecutor, but yet God had called him a sent one. Christ only chose 12, by the way. He carried the authority of Jesus everywhere that he went. An apostolos. But not only that, look at the power. Separated. To the gospel of God is what it says. That word separated is actually when we get our word Pharisee from. Now think about it. Paul knew what it was to be a Pharisee, a set apart one under the law. And now here he was, God had made him a set apart one unto gospel, the gospel and grace and these things. And so think about the Paul and how he could look back at his life and see where God had taken him and this total antithesis. And for some of us, that's the way it is. We were walking with the world, and God saved us, and now we're walking with the Lord. It makes such a great difference in our life when you can go back to those times when God has changed your life. And we talked about last week that sometimes that's the foundational thing that never moves, that gets us through the storms of our life. And Paul said, I'm separated, I'm set apart. I'm going to tell you something. To those God calls, he empowers. Cannot say, I can't do it. Well, you got that part right. But what can you do when the Lord calls you? So many of us, I'm looking at a room full of great, great missionaries, so much greater, could do so much greater things than I could ever think about doing. But we allowed Satan to come in and whisper in our ears and say, we're not able. You're not able to do that. But I'm going to tell you, when God calls you, he empowers you, okay? He doesn't commission. He don't just save people, but he commissions them. And Paul understand his power came from Christ. How could he make a difference in God's kingdom after what he had done to the church and to the things of church? God empowered him to be called out. Well, that's the preacher of the good news. Next, let's look at the promise of the good news. Now, I want you to know that before we get to the promise of it and the person, think about what he was set apart to. What was it? It was the gospel. The good news. Evangelion. The good news of God. He's given it all to us. It's 66 times he'll use that word in this epistle alone, okay? That phrase indicates the idea of a possession. He's not saying, I am called to proclaim the message of God, but it is God's message from himself. I have great news from God, is what Paul's saying. That's the message that you carry with you every day, by the way. The great news of God. It's not your message. It's his message through you and your life. And what has he done for you? If he's not done anything for you, you don't have a lot to talk about, okay? But those that have been saved by his marvelous grace, listen, what can you do and tell people and point people? You live in a world that's desperate. Desperate. Goodness, you can watch this campaign trail and say, where in the world? I said this past week, how did we get here? How did we get here? We've turned away from the things of God and we've turned to the things of the world. And we're expecting the world to fix our problems. Guess what? Newsflash! The world will not fix this problem of this country. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's that which Paul said he was set apart of. Now guess what? We're set apart. Let's think about that as we go on. The promise and the person of the good news, verses 2 through 4, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Paul said the promise was, listen, this promise that God gave us, in his holy word, his book, you know what he's going back to? He's saying in the Old Testament, the law and the prophet. You mean to tell me, preacher David, that the Old Testament is relevant? Yes, it is. In a world that says this book is antiquated and outdated, the Old Testament, even from Genesis 15, when God said the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head, the seed was on the way. If you'll read your Old Testament in that way, a gospel-centered hermeneutic, as you go through that and trace the seeds on the way, you'll understand in Isaiah the suffering servant was Christ. You'll understand all these things that the psalmist wrote about. The shepherd was Christ. And take that gospel-centered hermeneutic into the Old Testament. Why? Because Paul said this promise wasn't new. It wasn't novel. This wasn't this new thing he was generating, whooping up. But it came from the Old Testament. It came from the law and the prophets. Paul is saying the new, you know, a lot of people think about the Old Testament being the law and the new being the gospel. Paul's saying they're the same. It's all his testament, his testimony unto the Lord. He's telling them, listen, from the prophets of old, through the Old Testament, they're pointing toward this one that was on the way. Who was this one? It was promised over and over again through the prophets and Holy Spirit Scripture. And, you know, it's sad that we live in a day that people say, well, this is not relevant. You live in that day. When we need to be people of God's Word, that we stand on the promises of God. We make our decisions through God's Word. They need to see Christ lived out in us through His Word. I want you to think about the road to Emmaus and after Jesus has been crucified, placed in, he's resurrected, and those two disciples are heading out the road to Emmaus. They're just all sad. And what happened? Jesus just pulls up along beside them, don't he? And what does it say he did? He took from Moses the law and the prophets, and he expounded the scriptures that told about who? Himself! And I love it because they said when he reveals himself, when he reveals himself to these disciples, they said, didn't our hearts burn and within us as he expounded the scriptures? Didn't he just burn? Listen, there's no other book that burns my heart like this one. There's no other book, and I could sit down, and listen, I could be in the flesh. Oh, preacher, you get in the flesh? You better believe it. You can ask my wife. Gave away all my rods and my bow. I'll be in the flesh later. No, just kidding. Listen. You get in the flesh, but you know what? I can go to God's Word and be studying, and even sometimes when I shouldn't be because I haven't got things right with Him, and He convicts me, and He points out where I'm wrong, and He burns my heart, and He turns me from that. He says, I have to ask Him, God, forgive me. What an example I am as a pastor to be struggling with these kind of things. And that's when Satan comes up and says, hey, you call yourself a pastor, and you're struggling with these things? Yeah. Yes, we all go through those struggles. And if we're real, it's this word that warms and burns our hearts. And it finds our way and it works in and it helps us get through the things of life. How much time are you spending in it? There's only the Word of God that can make a difference. And Paul's letting them know, hey, it's not new. This message that I'm bringing is from of old. It's through all throughout the Old Testament. And then look what he says, the person. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born the seed of David according to the flesh. The title, Son, I want you to think about that. In his incarnation, the Son robed himself in human flesh and supernaturally was conceived of the Virgin Mary. And he was born a descendant of David. God told David, 2 Samuel, man, from your descendants, there'll always be somebody on the throne. And so this idea of his humanity, according to the flesh, is actually the word sarxis, the physical human life. God came to this earth and wrapped himself in flesh. He became a man. 100% man, not just 100% man, but 100% God. There's only been one. Stepped out on time, and Paul said, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Christ was the Son of God from eternity in expectation and was declared the Son of God in fulfillment at his incarnation and forevermore. He's declared is this word, and actually what we get horizon from. Think about that. What is the horizon? It's where the earth and the sky and the earth meet. It's that separate. Think about what Jesus was. It's where heaven and earth met. He came and walked this earth, a sinless man, the Son of God. He gave his life for you and me. Crucified on a cross and dead and buried. But then it says, he says that the person of it, he was declared what made him. God, Paul said, this is what verified what he said he was. He was resurrected. Man, listen. We're coming up. This will be Easter month. Starting next Sunday will be the March and we'll celebrate. What are we celebrating? He is risen. And he said the resurrection is what? That confirmation that God said, listen, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Christ resurrected from the dead. And that power comes. Here's the deal. Paul said that same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is what we're going to do. It's going to raise us from the dead one day. It's the resurrection that separates us from all other things, okay? It's the resurrection, the power of God that was manifest in the Son. Most conclusive and irrefutable evidence of Christ's divine sonship was a resurrection. You know what he did? He conquered death. He conquered death. Listen, get a hold of that. He conquered death for you and me. Now, those of us that have lost loved ones, those of us that have lost people close to us, you better believe we better grasp that. Why? Because death stalks us all. And if God tarries, we'll all face death, physical death. Jesus conquered death for you and me, that we don't have to fear it like somebody. Oh, I'm so afraid of it. And yet, many times Satan will come in and make us fear it in that way. Why? Because we don't understand it. But what I do understand, the Scripture says that he conquered death for you and I. That we don't have to fear it. Why? Because it's a doorstep. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Stepping in to the Lord's presence. My friend, I want you to know something that will help you when you face the trials of life. When we understand this good news that Paul's given us, that he's made the promise and the person of the good news. But next, the provision of the good news. Look at 5a. Through him. Who? Through who? Through Christ. He's just talking about in verse 4. Through him we have received grace and apostleship. Two provisions. Conversion. Grace. He's given us grace, God. Listen, we sing about it. Do we really grasp the grace that he's given us through conversion? He's given us grace and he's given us service. What was the service? Apostleship. Do you understand when he saves you for a purpose. He saves you for a purpose. And that is to glorify him with your life. Are you serving him in that way? Do you understand he didn't just save us to get our fire insurance and wave our flag and say, well, we get our get out of hell jail free card, right? Get out of hell free card here. But we're saved unto him. And everything that you do, that means that job tomorrow morning is just saying, oh, dear Lord. Or maybe the kids are probably praying, Lord, let one of them snowstorms come back through again. I know what you're doing. Do you understand that whether work or school, that you're all doing things unto the glory of God? It'll help you change the way that you look at things, okay? That teaching job, that job that might have got mundane to you, that you think, what's the purpose? Listen, God calls us and He commissions us through grace, but He also calls us into service. Serve Him every day unto His glory, whatever you might find yourself doing. That unmerited favor that was not earned, grace, and through that divine life that God breathes when we become a child of God, He breathes that divine life in us to live forever and ever one day with Him in glory. But He also calls us, man, Paul said the apostleship. He was called to be apostle to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord, that's us, okay? Gentiles, except for Art. Art's a Jew. There might be some others. But it doesn't matter. You see, with the cross, He made the ground level. I'm so glad He was called to the Gentiles, that it wasn't just one group of people, but it was for all men, that whosoever would receive Him should have eternal life. And you know, here's the deal. We're all called to that same team, okay? There's no walk-ons. Nobody sitting on the bench eating a pie. We're all stars in Jesus' life, in His game, okay? We're into the throes of basketball, and yes, my team lost again last night. I just about gave up on them again. Aren't you glad that this team that we're on, the victory's been won? No bench sitters. Everybody's important unto the Lord. I want us to think about that. We're on that team together. And the Lord never, listen, the Lord never provides conversion without a commission. He never provides conversion without a commission. What are we commissioned to do? Well, for one thing, the Great Commission was that we either go ye therefore unto all the earth, everywhere you go, you carry Christ with you, the hope of glory. That's your commission. If you're saved, how are you doing? Are you doing good on your commission, carrying Christ wherever you go and representing Him? We're commissioned to do these things unto the Lord. The purpose of the good news. Look at 5b through 6. For obedience to faith among all nations, for His name among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. Every believer is called not only to conversion, not only to salvation and to service, but to witness for Christ. In order what? To bring this faith, obedience of faith is a better translation. That we bring that. A person who claims faith in Jesus Christ, but whose pattern of life is disobedient to God's Word, has never been redeemed and is living a lie. Okay? If you're saying, I believe in Christ, but you do not line up with His Word, you've never been redeemed. You're not of that family. The message of the gospel is to call people to obedience of faith. You're going to be obedient. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? Far from it. But we're going to live a life that's marked by the Scripture. And we're going to see obedience to God's Word everywhere and everything that's displayed. And then he said the nations, that word is Gentiles. Praise God again. Paul was calling every believer to proclaim Jesus Christ to all men. Listen, if we're where we're at as a church body and individuals, and how important, there's nobody here that's not important, from the oldest to the youngest to the oldest. Everybody's important in this body. But if we're living these principles out, then we should be making a difference in our communities and everywhere that we are. This place should be packed. Why? Because we went out talking, explaining the gospel, living out the gospel, telling people. Maybe there's some redneck out there that needs a friend to just say, come on, go church with me. Look, that could be me. How many people am I inviting? And I realize that this commission, how many times have I seen the world so desperately that needs people to reach out and be the family of God? Not just inviting them to church, but telling them why and what God's, and the difference that Christ has made in your life. Pointing people to the cross constantly. Orienting them to Christ. He said he's called to the Gentiles. Paul was called to preach to the nations. And I want you to know something. The main purpose of the gospel was not for man's sake, but it was for His name. Look what it says. For His name. Our solution, our salvation, I want you to know, is through God's grace, but it was for God's glory. It's not about us. It's about Him. All redemptive history focuses on the glory of God. When we believe we're saved, but more importantly, God is glorified. Are we glorifying God through our life? Among whom, he says, you also are called of Jesus Christ, saved and living in obedience to bringing others to the salvation. We're saved, we're witnesses, we're called for what? For his glory, the fame of the name. Make much of his name. Everywhere we go, people say, oh, what a good person you are. Let me tell you about a good Savior, not a good person. Oh, how great that South Fork Baptist Church, not a good South Fork Baptist Church, but a good Savior. It's not about growing South Fork, it's about growing a kingdom. It's about growing and making much of Jesus Christ. It's about him, not us, and bringing glory to him in everything that we do. How are we doing it? Lastly, we see the privileges of the good news. Look at verse 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at that, beloved of God. You know what? You're loved of God this morning. Beloved of God. He loves you. You might in your mind say, how can he love me? And you know, Satan will start whispering in your ear about this and this and that. I want you to know God loved you. How much did he love you? This much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should walk, should not perish but have eternal life. He loves you this much. Beloved of God. Never get over that. Paul never got over the Damascus Road experience, did he? If you can get over it, I wonder if you ever got it. Okay? Never got over it. Made such a difference. And then he says, called to be saints. Now, hold on to your seats. You're sitting beside a saint this morning. Oh, we don't like that. Saint Lee. Saint Fanny. Saint Donnie and Linda. So, I don't know about that, Jane said. I grew up with it. Listen. But that's what it says. Called to be saints. Hagios. It's the same word that we get holy from. Set apart. All God's people are set apart. We are the body of saints unto the Lord. And I know sometimes you might not feel like a saint, but God said if you're called and set apart, you're saved unto him, that it's the saints of God. We have a long lineage, long history. I thought about this when I read this. I thought about the great names that have set these pews. Risk and Trivet. Norris's and Seeds and Miller's and all those great ones that have, they've come on. Now you've seen them come and go on and run, and they pass the baton to us. Now it's our time to run. How are we getting ready to pass the next baton? Because we're supposed to run our race now. It's our time. How are we doing? We've got a great lineage. Many, many in the past, we can go back over church history. Many that took stones and beaten and lines and all these things and burned and all these great men of God that stood on the faith of Jesus Christ. Great lineage to look back on. Then he says, grace to you and peace. That's that idea of how they greet you in Israel is shalom. Idea of peace in our life. He says, grace and peace to you. It's your traditional greeting, but I want you to know it's the idea of that peace that saturates, a peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this idea of grace that's been given to us, that the whole idea of the warfare between God and man and the sinner and the holy God, and we have a peace that's been given to us through Christ. We're no longer at odds with our Creator through him. Paul says, grace and peace to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Christ is our comforter. He's our paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside of us. And we possess that peace because of that grace and peace that goes together. He comes alongside. He gets us through the things that we face in life. What are you facing this morning? What is it that you're going through? You might be going through a transitional time in your life and you're trying to seek the Lord. Have discernment. God, what is it that you want? What is it that you desire of me? Keep on seeking him. He'll show you, believer. Trust in him. He'll guide you and show you. You might be saying, you know what? I'm just scratching my head. I don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have this peace. I'm in constant turmoil. You can receive peace this morning through coming and receiving Christ as your Savior. If He can save me, He can save anybody. So I don't care what you put in that line. You're saying, well, I need to quit doing this, I need to quit doing that. No, you don't need to quit doing anything but give it all to Christ. He'll take care of it. What is it? Did you say, Donnie? You catch fish. He'll clean them. Okay? He'll take care of that. God's Word catches the fish. He'll clean the fish. So don't be thinking, I need to get this right. And boy, that's a lie from the pit anyway. Give it to Christ. If you don't know that you have assurance of salvation this morning, what a greater day. What a greater day to say, you know what, Lord? Jesus, I'm going to make it sure today. What is it that you're struggling with? Are you going through a great time of joy? You've seen God work in your life and you just give praise unto God. There's nothing wrong with that either. Are you going through the struggles because of something in your life? What is it that it is that God needs to touch in your life this morning? Paul said, I want you to understand this man suffered. He bore in his body the marks, and yet constantly he never diverted from his focus, and that was to take the good news, the gospel. Do you understand that is your purpose and commission also this morning? When was the last time you shared the good news with somebody you know was suffering? When was the last time you took your eyes off your own needs? So caught up in our own little world that we don't see hurting people all around us. When was the last time we reached out in Jesus' name and Jesus' love and said, let me help you. Let me pray for you. Don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray and help others. Well, we'll do some applications. Lynn, if you'll come and pray or play, I'll pray. I want to ask you today, where are you at? Where are you at in your walk? Do you know that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen, the fact is that we'll all face death unless this trumpet sounds and the Lord tarries. We'll all face death. Are you ready to face death? Are you ready to stand before the Lord and give account? Or is He going to say, hey, depart from me, I never knew you. Where is your soul this morning? That's the most important thing, because the good news is for you this morning. The good news is that Jesus came to this earth for you, and you can receive Christ. You can have that relationship with Him. You can have that peace. You can have that grace, and it can start today. But you have to be true before God and not worry about what everybody else is thinking. That doesn't matter. What does God think? Are you at peace with Him? Are you at a place that you're trying to get a hold of God? You're seeking His will. You're seeking that direction. You're seeking that discernment. You're at that. Give it to God this morning. Allow it to place it at His feet. Know that He's in control. And know if you're a child of God, look, you're a winner. You can't miss if you're following in obedience to Him. So don't let Satan tell you and get you all tore up wondering if you're making the right decisions or not. You can't lose in Christ when you're following Him and living in obedience to Him. Are you living in obedience to Him? That's the question. If not, you'll have your chance. Is your life marked as a doulos for Christ? Are you a servant? Are you a servant? Do you think that way in serving Christ and serving others? Or is it all about you, serving yourself? Do you understand that you have been called and commissioned? When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Just cared about where they were spiritually. When was the last time? Do you understand you've been called and commissioned? And then last, is your life marked with grace and peace, the peace of God? I promise you, if you have the peace of God, it will come out of you. And the grace of God will change you. You're trying to change yourself? Let's stand to our feet. Gene's going to come and lead us in a song. What is it that God spoke to you this morning? Are you lost? Do you need Christ? Please don't leave here lost. Don't worry about what everything's going on or how you need to get something right. If you're lost, you come, give it to Christ this morning. He'll take care of the rest. Don't let Satan steal away what God's put in your heart. Your heart's beating. You know the Holy Spirit's working on you. You come as soon as she starts singing. If you're at a place that you're really seeking the Lord, desiring, Lord, what is it you want for me? Come. There's nothing wrong. There's freedom at this altar. Don't feel like it's something you can't do. Come and pray unto the Lord. What is it that God's saying to you? Do you realize your life? lots of commission. Do you realize if you lost your focus and got your focus on your obstacles instead of the objective, and fear has eclipsed your faith, where are you at? Soon as she starts singing, you come forward. Jean. Do one more verse. Give you a chance. Don't pass it up. You need to do business with God. Do business. Too worried to come forward, or if you need to be saved, come to know Christ as your personal Savior, see me. There's nothing I'd rather do than lead you through God's Word. Visitors, we're glad you came to be here with us today. We love you. Anything that we can do for you, I don't care. I'm a pastor to whatever needs that you might have. I love you too. And so thankful for what God's doing in our lives here at South Fork. Share the gospel this week with somebody. Invite somebody to come to go to breakfast. Donnie and them boys will whoop up a good breakfast next Sunday morning. Come back this evening. We'll start our seven truths and experience in God. A lot of great things going on. Be a part of it. Donnie closes in prayer. Yeah, the kids will be practicing tonight too for Easter. And then we have a choir practice at 5 o'clock also for Easter. So remember that this evening. Thank you, Donnie.